Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. It's a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today is episode 405. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. Let's read our passage. As it is, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do this to brothers and sisters. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church dealing with problems in Corinth. Some are problems that have been addressed by the church. Some are problems he's heard about. And he's dealing with these challenges of the factions, of their confusion over apostolic authority. They're not dealing with sin. And now he's dealing with this issue of people in the church suing each other in courts in the community. And he last time said, you should do that. You should take disagreements between people within the church and go to people outside the church looking for judgments. That's wrong. It should be dealt with in the church. The church can handle this. The church will handle bigger things. It can certainly handle things like this. It continues here in verse 7. As it is, to have legal disputes against one another is already a defeat for you. So the fact that you're in court, there is no win because you've displayed to the world already a lack of unity in the church. You've displayed lack of ethics in the church. There is no win for this. There is no good outcome for the church for this. So you've already been defeated just by being there in court. He makes these two questions. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? This would be addressing the person who has raised the issue and said, that guy done me wrong. And Paul's challenge to him is, okay, he done you wrong. Live with it. Isn't that better to live with it than to go outside the church to the court and raise the church to ridicule in the community over this? Isn't it better to live with the wrongdoing that you've suffered? And it's a rhetorical question because what he's saying is, yes, it is better for you to suck it up and experience the loss to be wronged, to be cheated, than to take it into a court out in the world. That's tough. We don't like that. I will not be wronged. I will not be cheated. I demand to be satisfied. Well, it's not so much in alignment with Christian teaching. It's not about getting my way. It's about elevating the church. It's about elevating the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be all about. And if going to court is going to degrade the name of Christ in the community, then I shouldn't go to court. It would be better to be wronged, better to be cheated, than to have the name of the church be besmirched. So he's pretty much addressing the guy who's raised the complaint here, the complainant. Now, verse 8, he's basically addressing the other one, the defendant, the one who's being accused of wrongdoing. He says, instead, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. And you do this to brothers and sisters. So for the one person, he's saying, it's better to be wronged. The other one, he's saying, how dare you do wrong? For the one guy, he says, it's better to be cheated. For the other guy, he says, how dare you cheat a brother or sister in Christ? So he got some strong words for everyone. For the one complaining that he's been wronged, he says, then be wronged. It's better to be wronged than to drag the name of the church through the mud like this. And for the one who's done the wrong, he said, you're acting like an unbeliever in this respect. And then he's really going to hammer that down because essentially to say you are cheating and doing wrong to brothers and sisters in Christ. You're acting like an unbeliever. In verse 9, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? He goes on to describe what unrighteous looks like. He says, don't be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, males who have sex with males, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. Now, as a category, he's describing unrighteous behavior because he said the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom. And then he talks about unrighteousness. And what do the unrighteous do? They do unrighteousness. That's what they do. And what he's poking at the Corinthians here is, some of you are acting unrighteous here. You're acting like unbelievers. So he talks about this unrighteousness in verse 11. And some of you used to be like this. That's where you used to be. That's what you used to be like. Key word, used to be. He says, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So you were washed. That is, your sins were washed away by the blood of Christ. You were sanctified. That's that word. You were made holy. This is why we say they're saints. They were sanctified, made holy by being forgiven of sin, which is what makes them unholy. And you were justified. Justified just means having a right standing before God. We try to justify ourselves. We try to make it seem like we did right. So being justified is to be declared right, to be declared innocent, to be declared holy, to be declared okay in the sight of God. And that only it's done by God based on our faith in Jesus Christ. So you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord. So if you're cheating another believer, you're acting like an unbeliever. And if you're suing another believer, you're acting like an unbeliever. So both the people, the one who's been done wrong and the one who is doing wrong, they're both acting like unbelievers. And that's this challenge for them. Not that there's no way to resolve this, but the way to resolve this is within the church. And if people would come and honestly declare their case before the church, people can make judgments on this within the church and deal with it within the church. And if you're not doing that, if you're wronging somebody in the church, you're acting like an unbeliever. And if you're suing someone in the church, you're acting like an unbeliever. And his whole challenge there in verses 9 and 10 about the unrighteous not inheriting the kingdom of God, it's if you live your life no different than an unbeliever, how can you be so sure that you are a believer? That's a recurring thing here we see in 1 Corinthians, this idea that if you're really a believer, you should act like a believer. We've seen that several times as we've gone through these books in the Bible, this challenge that if you really are a believer, then your life should be different. And if your life isn't any different, how can you really say you're a believer? So if you end up in court suing another believer or being sued by another, the church is already lost, regardless of what the outcome of the court case is. And so it's better to be wronged than to go there. And it's better to not do wrong than to go there. And so the challenge is, you shouldn't be living like unbelievers. Live like believers. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through 1 Corinthians.